Kathleen, I want to thank you and the kids for a great job. I mean, we didn't really plan this today, but that was a perfect song for the scriptures that we heard. Because we're talking about God's promise to pour out His Spirit upon His people. And that your young men will dream dreams and your old men will see visions. And we were talking about the dream of the king in the children's song. And you can't top God's power. The whole purpose of having a vision and a godly vision is that we can live in the power of God through His Spirit. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, I have a vision for this church. I have a vision of seeing us an excited people for Jesus Christ, reaching out in this community and making a difference, and other people coming here and learning about this God of ours, this Christ of ours, the power of the Holy Spirit to inspire us. I envision us having to add on to our building. I envision a family life center back here one day that will invite in the community into a gymnasium, into all kinds of activities, because we are responding to the will of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to have a vision for a new day and new possibilities that God can accomplish. We need to have a vision together. Now, it's much easier to have a vision than it is to get there. See, you can have a vision. You can say, hey, this sounds good. You know, more people, exciting times together, new buildings full of people. And that's wonderful. But it's a challenge to get there. Sometimes it's a struggle to get there. Sometimes we have to fight to get there. We have to overcome obstacles to achieve the vision that God gives us as a people. Right now, we're going through a transition because we've changed some of the names for things. We're trying to move away from a bureaucratic structure to a more team, people-oriented way to do things in the church. And a few weeks ago, we had those posters all around this sanctuary. Now, essentially, we've just taken some of the same basic things we've always done, and instead of call it a committee, to call it a team. We're not going to have the name Administrative Board or Council on Ministries, but we're going to have the same basic ministry functions. The ministry council will function pretty much like the administrative board. The three circles of ministry we've talked about, of stewardship and outreach and nurture. Nurture takes care of the people that God's already given us and nurtures us to do better, to do more, to learn more. And essentially, the Council on Ministries spends about 90% of its time dealing with the nurture issue. You know, taking care of what's going on here. And so sometimes the outreach people, don't have a lot to do that time. So the idea is, let the people dealing with outreach get together and deal with their stuff. And the people dealing with stewardship, like finance and trustees and dealing with buildings and our personnel resources, get together and deal with those. So we're a little more efficient about how we come together. That's a new way of doing things. It'll take some effort to get used to that. It'll take us some time. We heard some words of wisdom the other night at our meeting that change is not easy. We don't always like change. And sometimes it's difficult moving from an old system to a new system, even if it may be better. And that's the way it is with visions. We can have a vision for a bigger, better, more active, more thrilling and exciting church. And we can be excited by that vision. We can be excited by the Spirit that inspires it, But when it comes down to it, it takes some hard work to get there. And that's why God gives us His Spirit. So we don't have to work in our own power. We don't have to do it by ourselves. We don't just have to rely on our own human talents. We want the vision to be of God, so we know God is there to support and undergird it. And in the next 6 months, maybe even a year, we're going to have some awkward moments together. And that's okay. We can just love each other through it till we grab on to a vision that God gives us as a church to stand strong in this community and let our light shine brighter than it's shone before, that others may see the love of God in us and respond to that and get excited about that and want to be a part of the vision. But by contrast, in the Gospel of Luke that Marty read this morning, we have two people that approach the will of God in very different ways. They had come to the temple to pray. And the temple in Jesus' day was like coming to church. And they came before the curtain that separated the outer temple from the inner temple, the Holy of Holies. And only the priests could go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. That's how holy it was, where the Ark of the Covenant was stored. And they came and they stood there. And one stood there, all that holy place, all puffed up and probably with his chest poked out, and started praying in eloquent words and talking about how righteous he was, how much he did for God, how he tithed, how he gave to the poor, how he did this and how he did that, and said, "Thank God I'm not like this poor slob." No, I don't guess that was the exact words, but you know, that's what he meant. He thought that doing the will of God was just doing a lot of religious stuff. You know, there's still a few of him around. And then there was the other guy who came. He was a tax collector. Yeah, nobody likes tax collectors. They're not thrilled about IRS agents. You know, you get a little nervous when an IRS agent... I mean, I had three friends who were IRS agents, and it took me a while to just be comfortable around them. There's just something about that makes you uneasy. And I guess people have looked down on tax collectors forever. And yet he came and humbled himself before God and said, "You know, I'm not even worthy to be standing here. I'm such a sinner. I'm so worthless. I'm so wretched." And Jesus said, "He is the one who went away with the assurance that God had heard his prayer." You see, we can come into the presence of God with a wonderful vision. The Spirit can inspire it. We can buy into a corporate vision together about what God can do in this church, in this community. But if we get all puffed up and proud of ourselves because we're doing this and stand around and criticize other people because they haven't measured up to our standards, that will undercut the fulfillment of the vision. You don't know how some Saturdays I struggle with how unworthy I am to stand up here. You know, why God's called me to do this? I've been asking that a lot since February. Not because anything you've done. You know, I just don't know that I'm good enough to do what God wants to get done here. I don't know whether I'm wise enough, smart enough, But I certainly know I'm not good enough. I don't deserve in any way to be here. But I'm here by the grace of God. John Wesley said that God can use us no matter how worthless we may feel we are. God can work through an unholy, worthless person to accomplish His will. And it's in that faith that I can come to you. Because there's a lot of days I don't feel anywhere near worthy of standing up here. We've got our choices. We stand on one side or the other. There's a new movie out. Some of you may have seen it. I've come to believe we don't have a lot of moviegoers in this church. But it's called The Last Castle with Robert Redford. So some of you who are Robert Redford fans, you might have gone out to see this. But it's a great story about a courageous army general who is going to be put on trial because he disobeyed an order and 8 of his men died. And instead of going through a court-martial, he pleaded guilty, and they sent him to the military prison they called the castle. And the guy that plays the tough guys in The Sopranos on HBO, I don't watch that, but you know everybody talks about it, and they get, Emmys and stuff like that. He is the commander of that facility. And in comes a general who has written books, has been looked up to, whose strategies have been taught in the academy, and he's now a prisoner. And in this military prison, there's no saluting. There's no rank. You're a criminal. And we see the contrast between a man who is in a place of official leadership over the prison, who only looks at the bad things the people in the prison have done, who only focuses on those negative moments in their lives and thinks the worst of people. And then arrives on the scene a general who has a tendency to see the best in people and the best in his country. And the battle begins just because of two perspectives about human beings. And the commander of the facility has these people building a wall out of some of the stones that were left from the original structure. And they talked about it was his wall. And a general comes in and inspires them and say, "Why don't you see it as your wall? And do the very best you can." And here prisoners who were just like prisoners in every other facility, they gathered together around race and ethnic origin and social background, and there were groups competing with one another. We've all seen those prison movies. It was just like that in this military prison until this general arrived on the scene and people started seeing themselves in a new way. And they took those stones and they built a wall that was theirs. They came together as if they were still men in the military. They took pride in who they were before they committed their violent or criminal acts. They started working together as a group of people because there was a real leader in their presence. And this became a tremendous conflict. You got to go see the movie. It's good. It's good. Not going to tell you anymore. I mean, they paid me to come here and do that this morning. No. I wish. But you see, it depends on how we look at things. We can have a great vision of our church, of our community, of our nation. And that can drive us if we have a positive image. But not just an image of the vision, but the image of each other. when he looked at a man who was in there and said, when you did what you did, how long did that take? He said, it happened in 30 minutes or an hour. And that general looked into his eyes and said, how long were you a Marine? And I think he said, 11 years. So he says, I still figure that 98% of you is a Marine and only a small part is a criminal. We've got to look at one another that way. We can't be like the self-righteous man who stood before the altar, building ourselves up by putting other people down. Even if we don't say it out loud, if we're thinking it in our minds, we can't fulfill God's vision that way. We have got to see in every person, in spite of their faults, in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their lack of experience in the church, their lack of knowledge about things, we have got to see in them the possibilities that God sees. And then we can accomplish great things for God. That's what the kids were singing about. Nothing tops the power of God. And God looks into our hearts and our souls and lives and sees the good that can pour out, not the sins that corrupt us. And we've got to look at one another with eyes of hope, eyes that encourage, eyes that lift up, eyes that see the possibilities for goodness. And we can overcome anything to achieve the vision God wants us to have as a church. This is what we're called to be. And we can be it because God has poured forth His Spirit upon us as He has promised it in the book of Joel. If we will just humble ourselves like that tax collector, and admit we're nothing without God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for speaking to us through the prophet Joel, through the Gospel of Luke, to get our perspectives right on how we move towards Your vision for our church. Pour out Your blessings upon us, uplift us, inspire us, help us to lift up one another. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.